Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community here in Sacramento, California. And we bring you these broadcasts on KFIA Radio to talk about ancient future Christian faith. We strive to bring you a number of guests. Today we have a special guest, also a recurring guest here on Ancient Future Faith. Her name is Ellen Kohler. Hi, Ellen, and welcome.
Hi, Chris. It's nice to be back.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here in the studio today. Ellen is one of our elders at Epiclesis and also the person responsible for liturgy and music and worship at Epiclesis. And by the way, we'd love for you to come join us sometime. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 in the chapel of the Carmichael Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's at the corner of Pasadena and Winding Way in Sacramento. And all you have to do is pop over to the Epiclesis website. That's Epiclesis.org, Epiclesis.org, to find more information. Ellen, we've just come through a wonderful and busy weekend with a retreat featuring Dr. Carl Peters on the Eucharist, and it was wonderful, wasn't it?
It was wonderful. Our regular listeners will know that Carl has been with you the past couple of weeks and talking about the Eucharist, the Lord's table, communion, how that fulfills so many of the types and foregroundings in the Old Testament. It was a wonderful weekend of fellowship and learning.
We should say that last year we hosted a retreat on baptism, the other of the two main sacraments in the church dating back from the very early church. This year we wanted to concentrate on Eucharist or the Lord's table, and we called it, Ellen, Ancient Future Feast, because there are so many things about the Lord's table that are both ancient and future, and it also gives us a chance to highlight what in the world ancient future Christian faith is.
Yep. Yep, that's right.
Because I think it's important to say that not everything with the ancient future label on it is ancient future Christian faith. You can probably find the words ancient future in a variety of places these days, even New Age spirituality or some other kinds of things. But when we're talking about ancient future faith, we're talking about ancient future Christian faith. And that's one of the things I wanted us to talk about today, Ellen, as we chat together here for a few minutes. What in the world is ancient future Christian faith, and why that terminology, and where did it come from anyway?
Well, the term ancient future faith was originated, as I understand it, by Dr. Robert Weber in many of his writings dating back to the 1990s and then many more of them in the early 2000s. Dr. Weber passed away, went home to be with the Lord in 2007, but he's left us with a rich repertoire of writings to understand ancient future faith, ancient future worship, what worship and spirituality looked like in the ancient church, and how we can use that to inform our worship and our faith and our practices today.
We should say that Robert Weber was my mentor, and he was the founder of the Institute for Worship Studies, where I did my doctoral studies in Christian worship. He was a longtime professor at Wheaton College and then later Northern Seminary. And Bob's main focus, I guess if you just had to boil it down, was to say, look, the Western church, particularly the North American expression of the Christian church, needs renewal and revitalization. Mm-hmm. And we would do well to look back at our ancient Christian roots, the first few hundred years of the church, to find some inspiration as we move forward. And the reason is, as Carl Peters said this last weekend, sometimes through the years, the ship of the church accrues some barnacles on her hull. And it's good to go back to the source of the fountain to take a hard look at how the early church, the church fathers, dealt with a world that's, well, a lot like the world we're living in right now. Is that a pretty good summary, you think?
I think it absolutely is. And that's a wonderful metaphor that Carl came up with, too. You know, Bob used to say, the road to the future runs through the past. And he went on to say that this is particularly particularly important in understanding Christian spirituality. We need to know its origins, its formation, the road it's traveled, its present state, and the challenges that lie ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so looking through the lens of our ancient Christian past gives us some perspective on where we are right now and how we can move forward, particularly as evangelicals.
That's right. So ancient future faith is in many ways a return to the tradition and practice, and I would add sensibilities of the early church and mm-hmm. classic Christianity. But at the same time, it embraces the time-tested truth and expressions of the church in succeeding centuries and generations.
So that's really the ancient part of our definition, ancient future faith. We're mm-hmm. looking back to see how the Holy Spirit has inspired believers through the ages, particularly in the early church. As Thomas Oden says, and I love to repeat the quote, the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit has a history, and we would do well to listen to how he has moved in the lives of men and women who came before us. So I want to go back and unpack the ancient part of that definition here in just a second, but let's just at least speak briefly to the future part of the term ancient future mm-hmm. faith. What in the world are we saying when we're calling our Christian faith ancient future faith, Ellen?
We go toward the future in our ongoing pilgrimage daily in our walk with the Lord. And looking to the past informs us of that direction. And the various things that make us ancient future drive us toward the future and to our ultimate home with the Lord and to our communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we got to remember that Christian worship should always look forward. It's an eschatological thing. We look forward to the day in the future where Jesus is already beckoning us toward himself, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. he makes all things right, where the end of the age comes, we celebrate that grand feast of the Lamb mm-hmm. With him in the heavenly places, and there is a new heaven and a new earth. We look forward where Jesus has already gone before us. You're listening to an interview with Dr. Ellen Kohler. Ellen is the person in charge of liturgy and worship and music at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. She's also an elder at our church, and we're talking today about what in the world is ancient future Christian faith. Ellen, it occurs to me we probably also ought to say at least a couple of things that ancient future Christian faith is not, yeah?
That's right. One of the things that it's not is a denomination. It's not one particular denomination. Ancient future is a theology of worship, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But if it is a theology of worship, then it's not a denomination. It's an understanding that transcends denomination.
Particularly in this day and age when denominational distinctives are beginning to fall away. And by the way, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. There are some denominational distinctives that are important, some theologies associated with various denominations that are important, but many of them, at least in my view, are beginning to fall away because they have less and less meaning. And ancient future faith is not a denomination.
That's right. Another thing that's important to remember that ancient future faith is not is a style. It's not a worship style. It's not a music style. It's not a teaching style. It is a theology of worship.
Yeah, you know, that one always surprises me because when you talk to people about worship, one of the first things they are apt to ask you is, okay, what kind of music do you all have? What are you doing there musical-wise? What style is it? And they tend to want you to answer either, say, contemporary or traditional. Of course, the problem with those terms is that, like denominational distinctives, they really don't mean a lot anymore. What's traditional to you may not be traditional to me, and a lot of the churches that call their services contemporary are actually not contemporaneous, but are doing music and worship styles from, say, the 90s or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the fact is, at least in my view, traditional and contemporary don't mean a lot anymore. So ancient future is not about a style. That, by the way, you brought up Bob a minute ago. That was one of the things that concerned him about the emergent church movement. And we talked about this some. And he said that one of his principal concerns about that was that he was afraid that there were some folks in the emergent church movement who were thinking of these things in terms of style, in terms of church growth, in terms of something other than theology and having a good foundation in theology. And he feared that some elements of the emergent church movement were about, say, the latest church growth fad mm-hmm. rather than building on a strong foundation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Ancient future faith is not a trend. It's not a trend like seeker-friendly services or even, oh, say, in the past, there were weeks that were devoted to revival meetings. And it's not a trend, and it's not a church growth fad. And it's also not a strategy to beef up our numbers or beef up our coffers. It's the return to those practices of the ancient church and the succeeding generations and centuries that inform us of our walk with the Lord and his interaction with us and our place in his story from the past through today and into the future.
You mentioned church growth a minute ago. I remember Bob saying one time, this was in a lecture, he said, folks, I want you to get a hold of every book, every resource, everything you can learn about the church growth movement, and then I want you to forget it. Because there's not a whole lot biblical, at least in his view. He said there's not a whole lot biblical about the church growth movement.
That's right.
Seeing church growth simply in terms of nickels and noses is really a disturbing trend to me, frankly.
And another thing that I've noticed lately, let me put it this way, ancient future faith is not a set of catchwords.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
Well, we've talked in ancient future circles for a long time about God's story and how worship tells, enacts, prays, and sings God's story every time we meet together.
Right.
And so that term, God's narrative and God's story, is very important to us, but it's also become very trendy, the terms. I've seen them around, I've heard them used, that not God's story, but the emphasis on story and being part of a narrative is also part of the secular world now.
But that's right, yeah.
So ancient future Christian faith, it's not about a set of catchwords. We use words like being part of God's story and telling the whole story of God because that really explains and defines ancient future faith as a theology of worship in ways that other terms can't possibly approach.
Yeah, and that may be a good little stepping off point to say that one of the things that ancient future Christian faith is an emphasis on a kind of spirituality, a spirituality that would have been very much at home with and familiar with the ancients. And that is that when we enter into God's story, when we enter into his narrative, when we participate with him and his purposes for the world, we're not inviting him into our little slice of life. And that was very much the modern way to think about spirituality in the Christian church for a long, long time. I invite Jesus into my life, and he is there to help me live a better, more fulfilled me. The ancient way of thinking about spirituality is that we are invited by God into his story and to participate with him in his purposes for the world, namely the redemption of the world and the whole created order. Mm-hmm. And that defines and gives meaning to our life, not the other way around.
That's right. And that's why it's so important to us that every time we meet, we tell, sing, enact, pray the whole story of God. It's reflected in our liturgies, and we want our people to really understand what the whole story of God is. He created everything. Human beings fell, and in order to redeem not only human beings, but all of creation, which also fell, he sent Christ, the incarnate Word, to redeem and then rise victorious over sin and death, powers and principalities, and to redeem all of creation, ultimately in the future, to create a new heaven and a new earth, and to give us all new spiritual bodies. And that is an amazing story, and we need to know the whole of it.
Yeah, and there is a beautiful sweep. The sweep of salvation history is another beautiful example of how ancient future Christian faith encompasses the whole of history. It's the whole of salvation history from the very beginning until an endless end. Ellen, what's another thing that describes, in at least in your view, ancient future Christian faith? What is ancient future Christian faith?
Well, I've said that it's a theology of worship, and I think I've explained that I've intended to in my remarks about telling the whole story of God. That is a theology of worship, and that is what worship is. It is understanding the whole story of God and really understanding our place in it and accepting that. You have a little rubric that you use often, and I love it because it helps us really to understand in a short and simple way what our place is. And you say that worship is the purpose of the church. And then we have tasks to do. So worship isn't something we do. Worship is the purpose. And worship really should characterize our lives and our understanding of who we are every day. So worship goes beyond the Sunday event. It's not something that we only do on Sunday when we come together for an hour or two. It's something that propels us out into the world to love and serve the Lord, and that becomes just a part of our existence.
Which is another very ancient way of thinking about worship and spirituality. Yeah, I like to say that the church scattered through the week has been participating with God in his purposes for the world, has been living his story. Mm-hmm. And then we become the church gathered on Sunday morning, where we remember our baptisms, where we hear from the Lord. He summons us there. We hear from him. We renew the covenant, which I hope we can have time to talk about in just a second. And then we're sent forth into the world again to become the church scattered. That's a very ancient way of thinking about our relationship to God and to others as we come together as the worshiping community.
That's right. And the way that we explain that, the way that we characterize that in ancient future faith, is in what we term fourfold worship. It's gathering, word, table, and sending. And each one of those are very important. Word and table, certainly. But oftentimes I think we don't give as much thought to our gatherings or our sendings. So when we gather, we acclaim the attributes and characteristics of God and how it is so amazing that he calls us to be a part of what he's doing. And then we gather around the word where there's teaching and discussion. And then comes the high point, the table.
Yeah.
Whereas you just mentioned, we reaffirm our covenant with God every time that we remember.
And then we call everyone to go forth into the world, not just to go home. I often say, and now here we are at the best part of the whole worship service, where we don't just simply go home. We don't go off to the restaurant and order a number 3 baked potato salad bar and talk about what we liked about the service or what music we thought was done well or poorly. We are propelled forth into the world to love and serve the Lord, to become the church scattered once again.
Right, because our understanding and our experience of who we are in God has given us that purpose.
You're listening to a conversation with Ellen Kohler. She's responsible for the music and worship and liturgy at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community here in Sacramento. And we're talking about ancient future faith, what it is, what it isn't, and sets it apart from other kinds of worship. Ellen, we touched briefly on communion, and we ought to at least say that that's certainly a very important part of ancient future Christian worship, yeah?
That's right. For us at Epiclesis, we gather around the Lord's table every time we meet.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to one of the retreat attenders on Saturday afternoon, and she said something really interesting.
Oh?
She said that every time we meet around the Lord's table, it's not only glorious worship, but all of her burdens from the week are lifted. She's met with the Lord. And not only do we meet with the Lord at table, we meet with all of the saints who have gone before in ongoing communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You use the term, the veil is thinned at that point when we come to the table, right? So there's something, it's an eternal feast, an ancient future feast that we are partaking of every time we gather. But I thought this woman's comments were so interesting because she works as a hospice coordinator, and she has some very heavy things to deal with sometimes. And she said that last week was particularly difficult, particularly demanding of her and some of the people that she dealt with and some of their own crises. And, you know, we carry those things into service with us sometimes, and to have that opportunity to just commune with the Lord and let him take those things from us and lighten us so that we can go out into the world to love and serve him with renewed understanding and renewed purpose is amazing.
At least for me, the table is the most ancient future thing about ancient future Christian worship. At the table, we look back, we recall the Lord's death, but it's so much more than just mere recollection. The Hebrew and early Christian way of thinking about remembering is that something from the past is brought into the present with such power that it does not lose any of its original force. We're not saying that Christ is being re-sacrificed, but we believe that Jesus Christ is standing among us in the right here and now, in his risen power. And then ancient future feast, the table also reaches forward, where we long for and we look forward to the day when we eat this marvelous feast around the table of the Lord in the future, in the heavenly places. You mentioned that at the table, we believe that we join with all the saints who have gone before us. And that's another ancient future Christian idea, that when we come to the table, we are caught caught up, as our brothers and sisters mm-hmm. in the Eastern Church say, we are caught up through the power of the Holy Spirit into that heavenly kind of worship that is ever flowing, ongoing before the throne of God. And we participate even briefly with them in that glorious worship. Chrysostom, mm-hmm. the great church father, says that there are myriads of angels and archangels soaring on their wings, six-winged and many-eyed, shouting the hymn of victory, holy, holy, holy. And we get to participate in that. What a marvelous thing that is.
That is an amazing blessing and an amazing picture of what happens. And the other part of that is that we are all members of Christ. So when we remember him, we are identifying not only with those saints who have gone before, but all of the saints now living with whom we have a spiritual opportunity to partake with them. We are members one of another. So we are members of a worldwide community of saints. And that's part of what we remember at table as well.
I was thinking about that this week and writing a little article for Creator Magazine and talking about how we can design worship, especially when the world around us is in chaos and turmoil. And I was recommending to the readers of that magazine, who are mostly those who design worship and lead worship, that surely one of the things we can do right now, especially to be in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering around the world, mm-hmm. is to come around the table more often, mm-hmm. because it's a unique way of intentional participation with them in their sufferings, to remember that we stand shoulder to shoulder with them. Yes, when we come to the table, we are united with all the saints who have gone before us, but we are also united in Christ mm-hmm. with those who are living in the here and now.
Mm-hmm. It's an astounding blessing and privilege that we have.
Ultimately, Ellen, words fail when it comes time to try to describe what in the world ancient future Christian faith is. But we want to say that it is Christian.
That's right.
And it's not some sort of culty weird thing or some sort of church growth fad. It's not a product that you buy from the Christian bookstore. It's not a catchphrase. It's not a denomination. It's not a worship style. And I guess the bottom line is, I'd really like to invite people just to come and see it for themselves, yes?
Yes, I hope they will. We'd love to have them join us whenever they can.
So if you want to see and experience and hear a little bit about what at least our expression of ancient future Christian faith is, we'd love to have you join us. Again, we meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 at the chapel at the Carmichael Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's at 4600 Winding Way in Sacramento, at the corner of Winding Way in Pasadena. And you'll see plenty of signs there, and we meet in the chapel. And you can always pop over to the website. That is epiclesis.org. Let me spell that for you. EPICLESIS.org. And get more information there. See what we believe. Take a look at some upcoming events, which we have several, Ellen. I'm hoping people will check out, including a wonderful service of Advent lessons and carols. Mm-hmm. And you can learn more information by going there. Ellen, as you're preparing for this coming Sunday, what's on your mind right this minute?
It's an exciting opportunity and an exciting privilege that I have for thinking of songs and thinking of prayers and, you know, writing litanies and things like that.
And original music.
Yes, and original music. This week we have some special guests who are coming. We have a woodwind quintet.
Oh, that's right.
And so we've been scoring some things for them and making some plans to incorporate mm-hmm. them, not just to have them come and play for us, but to have them come and worship with us so that they will actually be playing with us in our service.
Yeah. Well, you've been listening to a conversation with Ellen Kohler. She's responsible for music and worship and liturgy at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. My name is Chris Halford. I'm the pastor and the host of this radio program. We're awfully grateful that you've joined us and tuned in. And more than that, we would love to have you come join us and just see what in the world this ancient future Christian faith is. Anyway, again, you can always hop over to the website at epiclesis.org if you have questions. Ellen, thank you so much for joining us. I'm grateful.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be here.
Wonderful to have you. Folks, until we gather again to take up some more topics having to do with ancient future Christian faith, I want you to think about this. Surely the road to our evangelical future mm-hmm. runs through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at ancient future faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Pastor Chris here with one more word before you go. One of the most special parts of the whole Christian year is when the new year comes along at Advent, the time where we celebrate not only Christ's first coming as a baby, but when we also anticipate his second future coming as a conquering king. I'm hoping you'll join us for worship in Advent on Sunday mornings starting after Thanksgiving, but also please join us for a special and unique service of Advent scripture readings and carols on Sunday night, November 30th at 6 p.m. Find all the information on the web at epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.